This is Spotlight on Lead Poisoning, brought to you by Southern United Neighborhoods, a nonprofit that works on environmental issues and helps people buy their own homes and fix their credit. Call them at 1-800-239-7379 or go on the web at southernunitedneighborhoods.org for more information. My name is Marie.
Only about 30 minutes. I mean, less, probably less, like about 20.
Standard.
Yeah.
You know, I did interview the other day. It was 2 hours and 40 minutes long, though.
Oh, well, we're not going that long, okay?
It was a long interview.
All right.
Sometimes you have an extra 2 hours and 40 minutes. It's about a guy's whole life.
Oh, Lord. Well, we're not going to get that in depth, okay?
Okay.
I'll save that for another time.
And we're going to be talking about lead mostly, right?
Yeah, just your experience in what you're doing with in Houston.
Yeah, we got something really interesting going on right now, so I'll be able to talk about that.
All right. All right, so why don't you start off introducing yourself and where you work?
Hi, this is Oral Fitzsimmons, the field director for Local 100. And I work in Houston, Texas, and have been for the last 33 years for Local 100, United Labor Unions, and Texas United School Employees Union.
And so what kind of union members do you have? Like, where do they work mostly?
Well, in Houston, they're in the Houston Independent School District, which is the seventh largest school district in the country, has 300 schools. Has a school budget of about $2 billion a year. And, you know, then we also have a Head Start agency that, you know, does the federal program of Head Start and with young 3-, 4-, and 5-year-old children. And we represent all the people that work there other than management. That includes teachers, teacher aides, custodians, the food service people, the family service associates. In HISD, we don't do the teachers. We do all the support staff, which would be the custodians there also, and teacher aides, and food service people, bus drivers, crossing guards, pretty much everyone that doesn't have a degree.
And everyone that works really hard and supports the school and making sure it functions, right?
Yes, and we just had a recent thing where, you know, some of the people had to stay till 8 o'clock at night to take care of the children because we had a big flood, and a lot of the parents, you know, couldn't get from work to the school because the streets were flooded. So they stayed up, you know, late with them. And, of course, in that situation where there's hundreds of kids in a building, you need every adult you can get your hands on. And, of course, the teachers stayed and all of the support people stayed too. So it was a kind of a, you know, communal thing to take care of the children.
Yeah, I saw that online. Some of the schools actually had a little bit of water go inside.
A little bit of water.
And because they didn't close the schools ahead of time for the storm, huh?
Yeah, they decided to leave them open. And actually, I was going around town in the morning with no problem. And then I came to the office that doesn't have windows. And then I go back out to go to the administration building for the district and to turn in some new member cards. And I couldn't get there and because the water had come up so quick. So it was a terrible experience. And, of course, I live in an area called the Heights, which is the highest level basically in Houston, so all water runs downhill, but it runs over into our members' neighborhoods, which are usually in the lower ground, and so their houses flood, you know, in a spring shower. So it's this was pretty bad for them, but they'll be back at work on Monday, I do believe.
Yeah. So on this show, what we do is we talk a little bit about lead poisoning and other environmental issues that people have. So I understand that in Houston you did a little bit of work in lead poisoning. So how did you first get interested in the issue?
Well, so what we've emphasized here in Houston is lead in the drinking water in the school. And the reason we do it at schools is because, one, that's where the young children are. And the people that get lead poisoning that are young, while their brains are still developing, can lose a large amount of IQ, and it's irreversible. There's nothing that you can do about it other than to deal with the fact that this child's lost 4 or 5 IQ points. So it's a real serious problem. The worst person in a school to drink of water in HIC water fountains would be a pregnant woman, because that led to get into this fetus, and they'd be, not as smart as they need to be. So that's how we kind of got into it, because our members are drinking the water, their children are drinking the water. And the interest came up about 3 years ago when they had the big problem in Flint, Michigan. And there was this fellow by the name of Professor Mark Edwards at the University of Virginia Tech. He was the national expert on drinking fountains and leaded water in communities and schools. There was a big problem with lead in the schools in Washington, D.C., and he went in there and fixed it. And now they don't allow any drinking water to put into people's kids' mouths. That's more than one part per billion. In Houston, they have a limit of 20 parts per billion. In Dallas, it's 15. And the best school district in the country other than D.C. would be Seattle, where they only allow 10 parts per billion. We have a huge medical center here in Houston called the Houston Medical Center, one of the largest centers in the country. And they tell us that any level of lead is bad for children. So we go to some no lead, which is what we should be striving for, to where the district thinks 20 parts is okay. And one of the other things, what we did in Houston was talk the school board through public protests to actually test all the water in the district. There's no federal or state law that requires the testing. Now, there was a bill in the last Texas legislature ending last May to require school districts to test, but it didn't pass because the people running the legislature don't believe in science. And there are 20 school districts in the Houston metropolitan area, and HISD is the only school that did the testing and spent $3 million to do it, and we're the union that made them do it. We had the assumption that once they found the lead, and they would do something about it. Unfortunately, when they set the rate so high at 20 parts that they didn't find as much as that's actually there. Secondly, like in Seattle, they have a system where they retest every school every 3 years, because as people that understand this issue understand that if you have a school that was built before 1986, it has lead in it. It has where they joined the pipe together in the plumbing of inside the school. Some people get confused saying that the city gives us good water, and that's true. The city of Houston gives good water to the district, but when it goes into their system, it gets polluted by sitting in the pipe, and the lead over, since 1986, and actually a lot of schools were built in the 20s, they just slowly deteriorate. So every year they get worse. So if you have a testing every 3 years, at least you keep up with it. In Houston, it's been 3 years, but there's no retesting. The other thing you have to do is get a filter on the water fountain. In New Jersey, in Newark, New Jersey, two things. One, about 5 years ago, they had this, the parents, made them put filters on the water, which was a good thing. But then I call up the filter company, the water fountain company, and say, are these filters supposed to be changed? And I said, well, yeah, every filter, air conditioning filters, any kind of filters, they got to be changed every year. Where in New, they didn't ever change them. So the parents of the school district got together and sued the district because they weren't maintaining the filters on the level they were supposed to. So we're dealing with a tremendous amount of ignorance and stupidity and people in an educational institution like a school district that don't believe in science. Other than that, it's a pretty easy issue to understand. So we got the $3 million here in Houston and tested all the schools and found that pretty much every school had lead in. And their solution is to change some of the water fountains. And in most cases, the problem is not the water fountain, it's the piping in the school. The water fountain is like maybe 5 or 6 years old or 2 years old. Now,
A lot of cities have lead service lines. Most cities, if they're older, right?
This is kind of like a canary in a coal mine. we're looking at the school district, and that's where the kids are in bunches. Okay? So we need to get that problem first solved. Then, You have the city water line going into my house that was built in 1929. The pipe between the city line and my plumbing is a lead pipe. Now, I don't know if people listening today know much about the periodic table, but, you know, they have all these emblems and all these different, you know, elements that are in the world. Well, the one for lead is denoted on the table as BP. And why is that? Because it means plumbers. Now, plumbers, you think about coming in and fixing your house, doing this and that, fixing the toilet, fixing the air, whatever. But back in the day, like the 1500s, the plumbers were the ones that always dealt with lead. And for example, in the 5000s, 6000s, they used to, the Rome had these aqueducts, which brought water to the city. So guess what kept them from leaking? Because on the inside of the aqueduct, they had a bed of lead. And that stopped the leaking, which got a bigger portion of the water from the source to the city. But then, as it came out of the faucet, they would drink it in a lead cup. Well, the Romans didn't know anything that was bad about lead, and that's pretty much the same way the school district is today. Now, that was, that was the 1500s, so that was quite a while back. They built a huge church, the hugest church in Europe in the 1500s, in Florence, Italy. And it took 100 years to build it. And one of the things the architects noticed was that a young plumber would come in at the age of 16 or 20 and, you know, would be just a regular type guy. But after using lead, and the lead was used to hold the building together, it was the church was made out of a big thing of granite, you know, pieces of granite, and then you had to solder them together, and they had to do that with brass. The brass deteriorates in the environment, so they had to cover all the brass with lead. Well, the lead, for example, you just had an example in Paris, France, where the Notre Dame Cathedral burned down.
Yeah, and all that lead went everywhere.
Oh, it went everywhere, because the place was chock full of lead. The same thing with Sedoma.
So, when you first talked to the school board, they knew nothing about lead?
They even after I talked to them, they knew nothing about lead. I did a presentation to the school board once, and what's really bizarre in my life is that the ones that cared probably and understood it the best were the Republicans on the school board, which I really never talked to, because I don't really ever talk to Republicans, but being that they're the only ones that seemed interested, I gave a speech, walked out of the room, the guy follows me from this board diet. Where did you find this information out of? Where did all this information come from? I said, it came from your own HIC website. So, what we did when we made them do the $3 million, we also made them put a web on their website a section called lead testing. And on there, when they did the testing, they would put the results of the testing on that website. So anyone can go to and find their school and find out how much lead's in it. Now, one of the most amazing moments is that we found this one school down one hallway with six pipes. One had 1,160 parts per billion, which is a tad over the 10 parts per billion requirement. Now, there were five other ones that were in the 200. So this is like ground zero death zone in HISD.
Yeah.
So I go in to talk to the principal. Principal's not there, but her secretary is. And I said, well, what do you think about the lead in your school? And she said, what lead? And I said, well, you haven't looked on the website. So, you know, I showed her how to get on the website. There it was. Now, the interesting thing about the website is that the general public doesn't even know how to read it, and there's no instructions about how to read it. The other important thing is that 60% of the general public have kids in schools or are Spanish. And to this day, and it's been 3 years, they've never put anything in Spanish on the website. So they're not really interested in anyone finding out about what's in their school. They're just interested making it available even though people don't know how to read it, and certain people can't even read it because it's in English. But, you know, and at the time we had an Hispanic school board superintendent. You would figure if you had a school board superintendent and a 60% Hispanic population that you would put it in Spanish for the sake of the parents so they could read it.
But yeah.
Now, what we have that's real interesting right now, going on as we speak, bad, and Lisa did the parents and try to get something going there, and it just didn't happen. So then I went over to another part of town. The school that was really bad was in a low-income Hispanic community. We went over to the another school called Toll Elementary, where every house in the neighborhood is worth $1 million, $2 million. And we leased it out there. The principal came out and talked to me. And, you know, so I must have handed out 300 leaflets. Well, about a year after that happened, some parent calls me up and wants me to come give a speech at the PTA meeting. And that speech is actually going to happen, I believe, next week. And what they want to do is to say, to hell to the school district. We don't expect them to ever fix it. Now, in their school, they had one faucet for 278 parts per billion, another one with 60 parts per billion, another one with 16 parts per billion. Well, 16 parts per billion, that doesn't really concern the school district because they have a level of 20 they're concerned about. So when I was doing their leafleting, the school district found out about it because the principal told them, and they sent a crew out to fix the water fountain that Saturday. I did this on a Friday. That Saturday they had a crew. That means time and a half for that crew to fix that one water fountain, even though there were four that needed to be fixed. So the parents are upset there, and they have the money to buy their own water filters and put it in their own school, and that's what they're going to try to do. Except the school district doesn't want them to do it because the only people that should be working on the plumbing in the school are HISD plumbing people.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a conflict between the will to protect your children and the concern, the non-concern that the district has shown about this. So there's going to be a conflict. Now, I told the parents, I mean, the parents told me they're all interested in Poe Elementary. I said, oh, fine. But as soon as the rich people get their water cleaned up, you can just bet we're going to go to all 299 other schools and demand the school district do it. So the rich people are playing a good role here by making it happen. And they have numerous doctors, numerous attorneys, and people that are real intent on making this happen for their children. So, and they have a lot of money. So my suggestion to them was to actually have the number one expert in the country, Mark Edwards, to come speak at their school. And there is another doctor in the medical center, Baylor College of Medicine, that is a pediatric person that deals with lead, not only in drinking water, but also in people's houses where the kids are chewing it for lunch, you know, flake paint and stuff. And we're going to try to get both of them to come speak, which, will, of course, will be a media event. And then we're also going to have a week of bottled water where the parents buy the bottled water, you know, get a truck in, big truck, you know, pictures of them unloading it. Our kids are going to drink bottled water for at least a week until the school district does something. And we may just continue that depending on how much it costs. And we're also, you know, so there's some kind of, you know, kind of like acorn action we're going to do.
Yeah.
Except this is with real rich people. Like, you know, they're asking for my help, so I'm going to give it to them.
No, I mean, it's a good way to bring attention to the problem.
To get media, and the district does. The way we got the $3 million was to get it in the newspaper and had a member go talk in front of the school board and said, while you're doing the testing, this is before the testing started, you should put water bottles in every school in the district until we find rich schools or bad schools. And, of course, the district said no. Now, the importance about that, by having a member do that, that put them on legal notice that they're, you know, not taking care of the children, and they were given an opportunity to do something and refused to do it. The other thing we're going to do at Poe is the Poe parents are going to pay for lead testing for all the children. Now, we don't know what's going to happen when they do that, but we know some facts. That is, they have a 16-part and a 20-part and a 60-part per billion faucets in their school. The district's only done one faucet, and that didn't really fix it. Secondly, this school now is in the 3-year range when it was tested, so we're going to get it retested, just like they do in Seattle. And we're going to start doing things. And every time we do it, they're going to be publicized, and it's going to, and then we're going to get a group of parents, especially the doctors and the attorneys, to go down and make a presentation in front of the school board, where it's not just the union doing it, but the community.
Yeah.
And when we bring the union and the community together, we're going to have power. And that's going to upset the school board, When I went out to OML3 the first time, that next Monday I got a notice from the school district that I was not allowed on any campus in the district for the next 6 months. I was banned. Banned from HISD. Kind of like, you know, your one of your books being banned in Boston kind of thing. But anyway, so I served that term and was let back into school, and then this last semester I was banned again, but it wasn't about lead, it was about the fact that we had just got the workers, the lowest paid workers, the minimum wage of $14. And the school district's reply to that was to privatize the custodial department and start paying young Hispanic women $8.25 an hour with no benefits and replacing people that had just got a 14-hour raise and full benefits. So there was a little conflict going on there. As we went out to organize them into a union, a private sector union, the company president said we were going into the schools, telling everybody we were with MetroClean and that we wanted to talk to their workers and so they kicked me out of the school district again. And just last 2 weeks ago, we had a hearing about it and we won the hearing and now I'm back to schools again. Of course, they're going to get mad when we do this thing at Poe, but this time we're going to do it with, the whole school board, the parents and teachers organization actually taking the front seat and doing it. And they're not going to be able to ban parents from their own school. And they're not going to be able to allow children to drink lead and piston water. When the new superintendent came a year ago, I asked him to come out to the school and have a drink of water with me. And maybe we could get a big old gallon jug and bring it to him to the school board meeting so he could drink out of it in front of all the TV cameras.
Yeah.
I never do that, but, we're not trying to, we're taking up dramatic ways to make this issue really become important to the people of Houston. And they try to blame the teachers all the time for not, educating the children, and the state of Texas is trying to now take over our school district and fire all the school board members. And, I tell the state something really simple. If you want to have kids educated better, the first thing you need to do is make sure their parents are making less, at least $15 an hour. So you need to raise the minimum wage in Texas, which is only $7.25, so that they won't be living in abject poverty. The second thing you need to do is pass a state law that requires every district to lead test, because it doesn't do any good to be educating kids that just lost 6 points of IQ because they've been drinking dirty water.
Yeah.
So if you want to solve a problem, I have some suggestions of how you can do it, or you can just keep being a non-believing Republican, a guy against science, and just let the kids keep polluting themselves. So you have a choice. And luckily, we now have some parents that are ready to stand up. We have Mark Edwards ready to come down to speak, and we're just going to blow the top off the whole thing and see where it lands. The problem with the district is they spent $3 million, which is not that much money out of a $2 billion budget. But to solve the problem, you might say, how many, Mark Edwards says every fountain in a school that was built before 1986, needs to have a filter on it. So you have to ask, how many water fountains are there in the school district? Well, I counted them. There are about 6,000. So how much does a water, now what's charming about this is the school district is generally eventually buys new water fountains. So the boss man told me that they all had filters. So when I went laid down underneath the water fountain and took a picture with my iPhone of the tag that's on the bottom of the filter of the water fountain. And then I called up the manufacturer and asked him if there was a lead filter in that machine. And he said, well, no, but there is a machine that looks just like it that has one, but your district didn't buy it. So basically the head guy in the district dealing with this issue lied to me, and I was able to prove it. And so we have to buy filters for all the schools.
Then you have to make sure that they're changed regularly. And that the filters are certified for the lead, because they have some filters that say they screen out lead, but they're not certified, so there's no proof that it actually does that.
In Newark, it just had that problem. They got filters for everybody, and they didn't work. And it's one thing that Mark Edwards said to me at the very beginning, because he's been my consultant on this, and you know, he knows everything, and I don't know anything, so I get to ask some questions. And he said, people are going to lie to you, Mr. Fitzsimmons. They're going to lie to you. And since they know they're lying, it's not like ignorance. You know, it's partially ignorance, but they're lying to you. So whenever they say something, don't believe that they just replaced all the water fountains in the last 2 years, because it's a lie. Now, go prove it, Mr. Fitzsimmons. We can't just say they're lying. We got to go prove it. So that's why I was underneath all those water fountains. Then I went to this one elementary school that my kids were zoned to when they were young. Went in, the plant operator who runs the building says, hey, I got something to show you. So we walk over to the cafeteria, and they have this little water thing that looks like it was built in 1930. And one's for the sixth graders, the other one is smaller, you know, like for the first graders. And it's a unit. He opens it up, and it looks on the inside like it was placed in the school 1930, and I took a picture of it, and it ends up on the nightly news, and the school district just went totally crazy because they don't like their water fountain, you know, being exposed. Of course, it would have never happened if I hadn't made myself motivated by this guy lying to me, and I found out he was lying to me. And now, since he's done this, he's been promoted to the number one position in the district right underneath the superintendent of schools. So, we have a climate denier. The climate we're talking about here is water running our school district. And he'll even say, I got two kids in the district. I'm going to do what's right. We're still waiting for him to do it. Because what's right is what Mark Edwards says. You got to filter. You got to replace the filter every year. You got to retest every 3 years. And you got to protect the safety and the health for our children. If you're not doing all those things, you're not doing a program that's successful. Because every school is before 1986, every fountain school is after 1986, but we'll concentrate on the 86 ones. Every school has a lead problem, and it's deteriorating to a bigger problem. And unless we get our hands on it, we're just going to be polluting. In this process, getting the $3 million, I found out that in 86, they tested all the schools. I said, well, that's interesting. That's been 30 years. But, you know, let me take a look at those results. Guess what? They don't exist. You hear about people being climate deniers or science deniers, but when it comes into your life personally, it's just really irritating. I got hooked up with Channel 11, which is a CBS affiliate here, and one of their investigative reporters. He went out to the city and tested some fountains on his own nickel, and he found 300 parts per billion water fountains in City Hall. So that started me thinking that, of course, you have all these city buildings that have dilapidated, that were built before 86 with bad water. You have county buildings with bad water. And that's just like the canary in the mine shaft. That's just the beginning, because actuality is we all have a lead problem because of what you mentioned earlier, which are the connecting pipes from the city water supply to your house is made out of lead. And we've known since the 1500s that lead has an effect on people that use it all the time, like the people who are letting up that church in Florence. And so far, the deniers have won. It's been 500 years, and they're still denying that lead's bad. And people like you and me that deal with it and see the results of it, see lead tests where the tests are just way up above what kids ought to be exposed to. I can remember living in Dallas in 86, and we were thinking about putting our child, my daughter Emma, into daycare, and it was in a corner lot, and there was a four-way stop sign. Well, what happens at a four-way stop sign? Cars sit there and exhaust into the playground. We decided not to put her there. That was a really good environment for it. But some people don't have that choice. They got to put it where the pollution just occurs. And, of course, yeah, we have a real private school called St. John's here in Houston, where all the rich kids go, and you know they don't hang out in any corners breathing lead. They have a really leafy, healthy environment for those kids to raise up. And we're just asking for the poor children, moderate income people, to have that same opportunity to protect their children and so forth. Now, and as I talk about Houston, you may, HISD, you may think I'm, you know, being derogatory about them, and, you know, I am. But there are 19 other school districts in the county, and none of them have tested for the water. There are 1,800 school districts in the state of Texas, and the only one I've been able to, well, they tested it in Dallas, and they have a 15 part per billion thing going on up there. We have members in that district, too. But my favorite is Spring Branch, which is a suburban district. It's inside the, Spring Branch is a part of town. It doesn't have a city government. It's part of Houston, but it does have a separate school district. So some of the parents out there got upset. They had stuff tested, and the test came back showing a lot of lead in their school. The district said, well, wait a second. You know, that's a private company. Let our plumbers go test it. Their plumbers came back. Everything's fine. Thumbs up. So they just did away with the issue by using their in-house people that were getting the results that the in-house people wanted.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of, it's amazing. Now, Channel 11 TV did a survey of all the districts in their viewing area, which is, you know, all of Harris County and even outside of Harris County, 58 school districts. And they would call them up and ask them, what do you think about the lead in your water? And they would always, all of them said, we're getting our water from the city of Houston, and it's just fine. Now, that kind of comment makes you think that they don't know there's plumbing in the school.
Yeah.
And that's the mentality we're dealing with. They don't know. They can't see the plumbing. They think that if there's a problem, let's fix the faucet. The faucet's not the problem. Well, it has been. At one time, you could buy faucets and the cooling element had lead in it. Now, those faucets have been banned now. Doesn't mean you have the lead filter. Like, HIC doesn't have any lead filters. I found one out of, you know, 6,000. And, but, you know, the district doesn't understand the basics of plumbing. And they tell me, if they wanted to, they could ask their plumbers. They'd tell them, you know, hey, the water gets polluted while they're in pipe. Now, of course, you have a building that's being used every day. The water doesn't sit. It keeps running. In a school district, all summer it lays vacant, and it builds up. So when you kids come back from summer break, they get a good dose of lead when they first come in the door. Just get the school year started.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it sits vacant all weekend. So when they come in on Monday, they get an extra dose. And it would seem to me that the district would, at the very least, advise their teachers and support staff and every parent that goes into school that's pregnant not to drink the water. Now, I understand they don't want to do that. It's because if it's not good enough for pregnant women, it really shouldn't be good enough for little second graders.
But they don't want to be liable.
Well, and they don't want to mix through the problem. So they go ahead and let pregnant women drink the water. And there's no notices, no awareness of the public. When they put the results of the test on the website, they don't even put it in Spanish. So, you know, the Spanish people don't have a chance at all. At least, and then the vast majority of the other people that read it don't know how to read it because there's a bunch of numbers and scientific notations and things. And I had to be taught how to read it, but, you know, now I know what's going on, but most of the people have no idea. And on the website, they have a section that comes up when you punch in your school, and it says everything's okay. Then you actually go to the actual test that the private company did, and guess what? In some of the schools, you find out everything's not okay. So they're like giving false information to people at the front, gives them the information that's correct inside, but they don't tell you how to read it, so no one knows what all those numbers mean. You figure if your educational institution for the city that's educating the youth of this fine city we have here would believe in science. They would care about the health of the children. That they would understand the liability they have, because someday they're going to have to pay for what they've done to the children. Just like they're paying in Newark, and just like they're paying in New York, people are suing them. Or they can do like
Yeah, and unfortunately, lead causes lifelong health problems. It just doesn't, you know, go away.
Oh, you know,
or
what?
Leave your body.
What your mind doesn't, what your eyes don't see, your mind doesn't know. And the thing is that when the kid gets the lead in him, it's not like his arm's broken. It's not like he can see it. He could blood test it, right? But you can't see it. And it really starts affecting the kid, especially when they get into more complicated things in middle school. And one thing that happens in middle school sometimes is that people have attention span problems. They also have conduct problems. And some of that is related to just being a young teenager. A part of it's related to the fact that they're losing IQ points because they're drinking dirty water. And we can do something about both. We can educate our, make class sizes smaller and maybe clean up the water. And maybe these kids can have a chance to what we all believe is the equal opportunity of the pursuit of happiness. And they're not getting that.
So if somebody wants to get involved in the campaign out there, how can they get in touch with you?
You need to call me at 832-566-2530. Oh, my goodness, what's my phone number? 832-566-2531, or go to Texas at United Labor Union, and that would be union with the S on the end of it, .org. And no matter where you hear this, I will reply to you and try to get you the help you need to do something in your school district. And if you're in Houston, call us and we'll get your school on the same track that Poe Elementary is on.
All right, well, thank you.
Going on Louisiana, New Orleans. I know just the people. That would be you and Beth above.
All right, well, thank you so much for talking to me today and giving us the update.
One thing else to say. People ask me, why are you interested in this issue? Why have you become the expert in Houston in it? And I tell them one simple thing. I have a grandbaby. He's almost 2 years old. I'm about to have a second grandbaby. I want the world to be clean for them so when they grow up, they're not drinking this water that's decreasing their IQ because we're in a competitive world and we need all the IQ points we can get because we're competing with the world and the world economy. And if this country wants to be great again, it needs to take care of its children.
You have been listening to Spotlight on WAMF LP New Orleans on 90.3 FM and streaming at WAMF.org. A recording of this broadcast and subsequent broadcasts are available at SouthernUnitedNeighborhoods.org.